You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento State football is coming off of a tough season that broke a successful streak for the Hornets, including Big Sky Conference titles in 2019, 2021, and 2022, as well as advancing to the playoffs in 2023. So the university is changing things up. 2025 comes with new head coach Brennan Marion, and this weekend is the first time to see the team in action. Sac State President Luke Wood joins us to talk about the spring game happening this Sunday, April 13th at 4 p.m. It is free, open to the public, and how this fits into his goal of boosting student engagement. We'll also discuss some of the other pressing challenges facing the university this year. President Wood, as always, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So college football is in the fall. Why is there a spring game?
That's a great question. So the spring game is really, think of it as a practice or showcase for the students. So it's an opportunity for the community to come and see the team, meet the coaches, see the new players. And because we have a very special offense that is ran by Sacramento State with our new football coach, Brennan Marion, it's called the Go-Go Offense. It's an opportunity to get an inkling as to what that looks like. So it really, the spring game is a culmination of the NC2A allowable practice window. So what we do is the game splits the team, the Sac State team, into two squads, green squad and white squad, which the coaches create. And then each team is made up of both offensive and defense. And then basically the coaches have a scoring system so we know who wins the game. Either way, Sac State will win.
that's a nice guarantee. So that good for fans who are going to be going this weekend, and it's at 4 p.m. on Sunday. Given that Sac State had just a bruising season last year with just three wins, this after, of course, a postseason spree spanning many years, when you do a postmortem, you look back at the last season, 2024, what improvements needed to happen this year?
Oh, wow. I mean, I would say that there was a lot of improvements, but it was time for us to bring new energy and investment into athletics. So, you know, we hired a new football coach, Brennan Marion, who's coming to us from UNLV, and he's brought with him a new coaching staff that is really player-centric and focused on what's going to be the best for the players and for their families. We have put in upgrades that are going into our stadium between now and the 2025 season, including new lighting, ribbon boards, video boards, concessions, all kinds of different things to really improve the fan experience. And so there'll be a benefit for the fans there. But it also really comes down to recruitment. So we've been more focused on recruiting students from in-state and out-of-state. And part of that is our encouragement for students in the local area to stay home. We have incredible talent in the local area. And for a lot of those students, they have historically looked at Sac State quickly and then have decided to go on to other programs because they are what's called FBS, which is the highest level of D1 football. And so we announced our plans to make that transition to the highest level of D1 football and submitted our application to NC2A. And so if approved by 2026, Sac State will be in the mix as a FBS team. And we have proposed that as a independent approach. And so
what does an independent approach mean?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. So independent means not with a conference. So UConn and Notre Dame are two independent teams right now. So what happens is they have agreements with different conferences for scheduling, but they're not part of a conference. They create their own schedule. And for us, we wanted to have control over our own destiny and be able to play the teams that we want to play, that our fans want to see. And while people certainly love the teams that are in the Big Sky, and so do we, it was time for us to play teams that are at the highest level of D1 football. And so that transition, we believe, will lead to more fans being there, but also it makes it so that players who are in the local area want to stay home.
So you put in that request. This could happen pretty soon in 2026. When will you find out?
Well, we'll find out this semester. So we submitted our application with a waiver, and the waiver is for us to be independent without having a conference. So that was in February when we submitted it. it first goes to what's called the FBS Subdivision Committee. Now, FBS stands for Bowl Series. So that's basically teams that are able to play in a bowl. So you know how in the postseason you have all the different bowls that take place across the country. We would be then eligible to compete in that. And so they look at it first, and that's hopefully within the next several weeks. And then after that, it would go to the what's called the D1 Council, which is the council at the highest level of NC2A. And with approval from those two groups, we would be making that transition.
Hmm. Well, of course, there's also the SAC-12 push, and that's a committee to take Sac State football to the next level. As you said, the highest level of division college football in the United States. But the focus was by joining the Pac-12 Athletic Conference as an FBS school. The organization is independent of the university, but it includes big names like State Senator Angelique Ashby, business leaders, including your twin brother, Joshua Wood, who's a co-chair and has been a longtime business leader in Sacramento. How does that fit into this larger push to elevate Hornet athletics?
Well, it's showing that we're not just doing this in isolation. There's true community support. And as with the SAC-12, their focus has been on raising dollars for Sacramento State if we make that transition into the Pac-12. There's some of those dollars are raised regardless of whether we go Pac-12 or not, but they would like to see us in the Pac-12. That's why their name is SAC-12. For me, my main focus is on being at the highest level D1 football, which means being FBS, and certainly Pac-12 could be an option in the future, but I really think that we benefit more being independent. And the reason for that is we have a top 20 media market here. Sacramento is one of the biggest media markets in the country, and we're the only top 20 media market in the country without an FBS football team. So we would be filling that void. And unlike most media markets, our market is not saturated. You know, it's basically us and the Kings, and of course the A's for a few years here. So there's an opportunity for us to really benefit from that. But you're right. I mean, the SAC-12 has been an incredible support for us in terms of raising NIL and also just raising visibility about what Sacramento as a community brings to the table.
Yeah, this is also a year of really big new faces for athletics at Sac State. Last month, former Sacramento Kings player Mike Bibby was named as the head coach of men's basketball. About a week later, the first recruit was announced, and it's Shaquille O'Neal, who's the son of Shaquille O'Neal, and needs no introduction. How do these big celebrity names and this recognition reflect that larger strategy that you're pushing for when it comes to athletics at Sac State?
Well, it's all about elevation. If you want to be in the big times, you've got to basically act like it. And so, you know, we're bringing in the best coaches. We're bringing in the best players. And, you know, it's time for us to fix two programs that did not do well last year. Football did not do well. Men's basketball did not do well. But many of our other sports teams did incredible. And in fact, our female sports teams absolutely cleaned up this past season. But it's time for us to make sure that we are expanding out what we're doing in those two very big revenue generating sports. And so I want to also explain the connection here. So we're investing in athletics as an investment in Sacramento State. We're in the midst of a severe budget reduction that's coming from the state of California. And so part of what we're looking at is how can we create new revenue streams that can benefit the campus so that we can be more fiscally viable as a university? And athletics is one of the levers that many universities pull in order to do that. So we've made a commitment that 15% of all the new revenue that's going to be coming from men's and women's basketball and football is going to be redirected back into the university, into academic affairs, so that we're using athletics as a tool to support the university in these difficult budget times.
Okay. Because there was a Reddit thread about the amount of billboards about the spring game that's happening on Sunday. And some were criticizing that it was too much, not the best investment of resources. But what is your response to that? I guess as you kind of laid out, a chunk of the proceeds of athletics is going to go back into the university and the campus and other departments and resources.
Yeah, I mean, for us to be able to maximize revenue that's coming in from athletics, we have to advertise ourselves. And so, you know, billboards, social media, and other avenues are what we're using as a way of being able to do that. And we're seeing big movement right now, both in terms of tickets for football and for basketball. So I think that's an important point for people to understand. We're not just doing this because we love athletics, which we do. We're doing this because this is an investment back into the university at a time when we desperately need the resources. So I hope when people see the billboards, I hope when they see the spring game that the first thing they want to do is buy a soda pop, buy a hot dog, and buy a ticket, because those are helping to support the university in these difficult times.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Sacramento State President Luke Wood about Hornet football spring game. It's happening this Sunday at 4 p.m. There's also a big development. I think the last time we had Sacramento State Athletics Director Mark Oron, it was in the fall, and it was after the announcement that the university is going to be building a brand new state-of-the-art venue to replace Hornet Stadium. Construction, I believe, was scheduled to begin at the end of last season. What's the progress on that, especially given the financial climate?
Yes. So one of the things to understand is that we have different pots of resources and monies for the campus. So we have our general fund that comes from the state that's meant to support our, you know, academic programs, what takes place in the classroom, faculty, et cetera. And then we have separate resources that are paid for by students that are what we call designated funds, because they can't be used for anything else. And so we have designated funds that can only be used for athletic facilities. So the stadium and all the other investments that we're doing in athletics is based only on the designated funds that we have that cannot be spent on anything else. So we are making changes to the stadium in advance of the season. So in advance of this upcoming season, we're doing modifications underneath the stadium where we have had some issues historically in terms of the scaffolding and making sure that it's safe for our fans. We're adding in new lighting. We're making renovations to the track. We're adding in seating in the end zone, ribbon boards on the field, video boards, new entertainment options. We're really focusing on the fan experience to draw more fans and, again, to generate more revenue to help go back into the institution. So when fans come in the fall to a football game, they're going to see Hornet Stadium, but it's not going to look like the Hornet Stadium they remember. But that's just phase one of the changes that we're doing.
Hmm. I want to move on to some other pressing issues facing the university in the last few minutes that we have. As you just heard, we just spoke with reporters from EdSource about international student visas being terminated at California colleges and universities. Some took place at Sacramento State. What can you tell us about what unfolded on your campus?
Well, first of all, I thought they did a really good job of overviewing the complexity of what we're dealing with right now. So basically, what happened is that the Trump administration has done terminations of what's called the Student and Exchange Visitor Information System. So SEVIS, and they talked about what that was on the last section. But basically, it's our international students who are having their visas pulled. We have students who have been experiencing that and other issues. And so it's a range of issues in terms of what we're seeing. We're seeing a combination of students who are having visas terminated. We're seeing students who it has been announced by the federal government that that their visas will be terminated or that they need to self-deport based upon what countries that they're from, which they haven't necessarily received notification. We have students who are here from other countries who are on Fulbright dollars that are either being terminated by USAID or being terminated by research dollars that have been associated with that. And then we have another group of students who we have memorandums with other countries where they would send cohorts of students to Sacramento State, and where now, because of the policies of the government, their countries feel uncomfortable having those students come to Sacramento State. All of this does two things. As they talked about, it hits the bottom line. Like, and I don't see our students as dollar signs. I see them as students. But ultimately, our out-of-state international students do pay more, and we heavily rely upon those resources to provide a quality experience for them. So that's happening. You have students who are very concerned, who are fearful, who, you know, we had a student who's experiencing this earlier today, who doesn't feel comfortable even leaving their house because they're worried about what will happen to them. And so we're trying to manage what is an unmanageable situation and be responsive to any directives that we receive from the federal government. You know, we are a state agency. We are, you know, part of the government. And so if the federal government or state government gives us a directive, we have to comply with that. But what we're trying to do is make sure that we bring the humanity into that situation and provide as much support as possible to our students who are feeling very targeted right now.
Yeah. What directives are you most concerned about?
Well, a whole host of directives. We have concerns in terms of visas being canceled. We have concerns in terms of research dollars that are being canceled. You know, we have about $36.5 million in federal funds that we receive that are at risk or have already, some of those dollars have already been canceled. I mean, we just had a faculty member a couple of weeks ago, we had a $3 million grant canceled that really represents their life's work. And so we're seeing that as a challenge that we're trying to navigate. It's a range of issues that deal with funding from the state level, that deal with terminations of visas from the federal level, that deal with terminations of funds, and also a general stance against diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think for us, our main focus is on making sure that we are in complying with the law. And in California, our focus on diversity and inclusion adheres to what's called Proposition 209, which means that no matter what we do, whether it's a graduation ceremony, whether it's a cultural center, whether it's admissions, whether it's scholarships, everything we do is open to everyone. And so we continue to comply with the law, and that's what we will do. And at the same time, the tone and tenor that's been created has been one that has created fear for our students.
And this is happening as the state financially in a budget deficit, and you did touch upon that. As a result, Sac State is projecting a shortfall of more than $30 million the coming fiscal year, another $5.8 million projected the following year. Earlier this week, you announced that Sac State was laying off some staff as part of cost-cutting measures. Is there more to come?
Certainly, there is. This week and this past week, what we focused on and earlier this week was on individuals who are managers. So these are non-represented employees who help to provide, executive or senior leadership to the campus across different areas. But our focus was on reducing as many of the managers as we could in order to preserve the core of what we do, which is the academic function, classes that we're offering to students and making sure that students have access to critical resources that they're going to need. So we're in the midst of making a series of very difficult decisions, but that's why we're at the same time being so bullish around some of our efforts to generate revenue, because we're never going to be able to cut our way to success, especially with the budgets that we have that are very lean within the California State University system. You know, unlike the UC, we don't have, billion-dollar budgets. And so for us, it's really important that we begin generating revenue through athletics, but we also are cutting costs in areas where we know we can in order to preserve the core of the university.
Mm. Sac State also proposed adding a student success fee, and that is a fee that's described as helping to enhance the quality of academic programs and the student experience on campus. It takes place at other CSU campuses. It ranges from around $200 at San Bernardino to almost $1,000 at San Luis Obispo for the last school year. So it ranges on campus. But is this part of a financial toll that students will have to shoulder as a result of budget cuts?
Yes, if it's passed. And so this is a process where students will vote. So basically what the deans have proposed, so this isn't actually coming from the university, it's actually coming from the academic colleges. Each of the deans is proposing a fee that's directed to their college. So a fee for students who are in engineering, a fee for students who are in business, a fee for students who are in health sciences that is meant to support the core of academics, faculty lines, lecture lines, courses, front line staff. And then it's really giving the students the opportunity to choose. There can either be less resources and less opportunity, or students can choose to pay more. And really what the deans want to do is put that choice in the student's hand and let the students make an informed decision. I can tell you that just objectively looking at this, we're the only large CSU that does not have a student success fee. So what that means is that when other institutions in our system that are large take a cut, they feel it differently than we do because we run a way leaner model. So I'm hoping that the students will see the picture that's presented by the deans and want to support it. But ultimately, it's putting the power in their hands to make the decision. And if they vote it down, it doesn't happen.
This also comes at a time when you're looking to fill a key financial position. Sac State is holding interviews for the new chief financial officer. The finalist interviews, they kick off next week and they're open to the community. They will be live streamed. What are you looking for in a CFO who will inherit and take on these significant financial challenges?
Oh, there's a lot of things that we're looking for. One, we're looking for a seasoned leader who understands how to move an organization through difficult budget times, right? So that is not only being seasoned when it comes to the fiscal and legal aspects, but also political and relational. We're looking for a leader who understands our unique blend of diversity and inclusion at Sacramento State and how that is important to us in accomplishing our goals. We're looking for someone who has experience with facilities. Obviously, we're building a football stadium. We're almost done with renovations for our basketball gym, which will be done at the end of this month. We're also looking at options for Sacramento State to have a footprint downtown. So we have major capital projects that this person would be helping to lead. And in addition to those, also our forthcoming campus in Placer, that's a partnership with Sierra College. So there will be a lot on this person's plate, but I would say it boils down to two things, which is budget and facilities.
Yeah, and under that umbrella, there's a lot of moving parts. Finally, I want to end with an update on Cap Radio. As you know, our newsroom is independent from the station and the university in terms of our coverage. But the station has been in the news lately about a lawsuit over its downtown headquarters, a move that is no longer happening. This is on top of other lawsuits or legal matters facing the station, as well as the Corporation for Public Broadcasting asking for repayments to the tune of nearly $200,000. All of that to say this adds up. It's a lot of money at a time during a budget shortfall. Is Sac State financially prepared to support the public media station through all of this?
Well, I think that we have shown time and time again that we are 100% committed to Cap Radio. And that includes not just symbolically, but financially. And we will continue to provide that support that's necessary. I'm glad that you mentioned that there's a firewall between Sacramento State and what happens in the newsroom. So we do not have, as you know, any influence on what takes place there, which is good. I also think that it's important for people to understand why we support Cap Radio. We provide education to students in the classroom. Cap Radio provides an education to the public through radio. And so I think it's an important part of the educational mission of the university. You're right. There are a lot of things happening right now in terms of legal proceedings. You know, as you know, when I began, I walked into a very unique situation with an audit that had just come from the California State University that was described to me as the worst audit in the system's history. I think that if anyone has read the new audit that came from that same time frame focus on the Corporation of Public Broadcasting. And as you mentioned, they're asking for dollars back. These are things that we did expect based upon what we learned during kind of the first early months of my presidency in terms of what's happening. But I will say one thing that I've continued to say, Cap Radio is here to stay. Sacramento State remains committed to Capital Public Radio. And I encourage all those who are listeners to continue to contribute to Cap Radio because it's critical, especially in this time when there is so much misinformation, disinformation, and alternative facts. People need to have an objective news source, and Cap Radio represents that for our community.
President Wood, thank you for taking the time with us. There's a lot going on.
Yes, there certainly is. And thank you for all you're doing.
That is Sacramento State President Luke Wood joining us for a wide-ranging conversation. The spring game is this Sunday at 4 p.m. And just a note, Cap Radio's broadcast licenses are owned by Sacramento State. The university also oversees our finances and approves our expenses. It does not, however, oversee our news production or programming. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.